compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Approval of the agenda.
Make motion to approve the agenda.
I second.
Dave makes a motion, Vicki seconds it. Any other comments?
Object, I'm on there.
Pardon? Yes, you are. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Pass. Approval of the minutes from March 14th.
We do have one thing I noticed late. What is that? Like I say, it was not important.
The financial report.
Oh, it says where it says that the nutrition program is not split between congregate and home delivered expenses, it should be now split.
Okay.
And then just change the next meeting date, April 20th.
Oh.
Instead of 18.
With those changes, I'll make the motion to accept it.
Steve makes a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Dave, any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, on to item 5, public comment.
For public comment, before we get into this, I think we should probably go around and introduce, because we have board members that don't know the new board supervisors. These board supervisors that are on today are not new to me, because they've been on the committee before in the past, but they're not. But you don't all don't know them. And we do have a couple of them.
Didn't some over here start this committee?
He may have. So do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Dale Hood from Plattville, on the county board, and with what Lori just said about knowing them, I guess you could maybe say I'm partly to blame for her being here today.
What's your address?
You don't want to take that blame, Dale.
you really want to take credit for that?
I didn't say credit.
Yeah, we're all on the committee.
I'm Lester Jansen. I'm from Potosi. And this will be my second term on ADRC. I enjoyed it last time.
And we're very happy to have both of you. Yeah. Do you want to just go around and introduce yourselves? So I know they know you.
Steve Wetter from basketball, and this is my last.
Technically, it's not supposed to be your last.
Look at that big smile on his face.
6 years of it.
Dave, and then I'll introduce you.
Okay. Dave Janney, and I'm from Lancaster.
Courtney Brookhart. I'm from Fenimore. I'm the administrative assistant here at ADRC.
I'm Arnold Rawson, and this is my first term on the board.
I'm from Plattville.
Bob Keeney, County Board Chair.
Joe Brayer from Plattville. This is my first and last term. I can't handle the weather anymore.
Joe's moving to Arizona. So. And we also have Shane
Drinkwater. I'm the new director of IT.
We're very happy to have him on board, especially with the new building project happening out there. So, do you want to say anything else, Shane? Is
there anything? Just happy to be here and excited to learn about all the new committees and getting the lay of the land.
That's great. Well, we're happy to have you.
And I'm Mary Lou Bausch. This is my last. Is this my last meeting also?
It is.
It is.
Let's party.
That ends after my heart.
I made cookies for you because I couldn't make cocktails. All right. However, it is Friday night, so you know, I am free after 5.
I used to tell my staff that we rolled up the barrel out the back door. Friday at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock.
Okay, update on the building.
Well, we're making progress. It's been kind of slow. We made the decision first, second week in March that spring was here and we wouldn't tent and heat the interior to pour concrete. But that hasn't gone so well. They did pour yesterday afternoon and they're pouring again this morning some floors that we had thawed out to some space. Hopefully yesterday was our last snow and we can start to move forward the roof done. Like the comments earlier, they brought more foam today, so they plan to start roofing again Monday of the elevated roofs. Plan to work on those next week. By the end of the month, they should have the majority of the roofs done, except for the jail pod itself, because the jail pod is still fairly open. We're putting up rafters in there. There's about three more support walls that need to be built, and Cullen basically shut down the street because of the weather. So they're gearing back up, and hopefully by the end of next week, they'll have those support walls built so we can get that roof on. A lot more underground going in. Again, hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have the majority of the concrete floor poured in the law enforcement center. Social services, ADRC, will be another couple weeks to get everything thawed out in the underground too. But the kitchen area is... quite a bit of that's complete. The HVAC and everything is in there. All the walls are in there because we had that enclosed and heated all winter. Just need the weather to cooperate now. But it's coming along, hopefully. We're shooting for November to be done with the building for the most part.
Do you want to say anything about the sewer line?
I need to run at some point this morning. We're having another meeting about the agreement with the sewer line. The county board members will understand this. We made a couple of slight modifications, and the city administrator didn't like those. So now we're not back to square one, but as long as we're going to modify the agreement, we're meeting this morning, Ben and I, with the city's attorney and mayor and administrator to work out the agreement. We are still moving forward. They've started surveying, if you notice the flags along the line. We're going to put a sewer line with a lift station between these two buildings out here, pump it across the road, follow the roadway, not in the right-of-way, but just outside of the right-of-way, all the way to the city for the sewer.
How many lift stations would you have to have?
Just one.
Okay.
Well, I need one pump. Mm-hmm. Four different air vents and all that technology that's got to go into it. Just one pump to get it to the city. And then we will abandon our treatment plant next spring when that starts to fall. Mm-hmm. But the cost just keeps going up because you need more of this and more of that. The protection now of when you're going to pump it 6,000 feet underground, you don't want anything in there that's going to plug. So
that's right. Yeah.
Putting in a mechanical screen now. And
So
our hope of being at 1.5 million, maybe a little over, is approaching 2.2 right now.
How deep do they go with those?
6 to 7 feet. Not overly deep, just to make sure it's below the cost.
Hopefully you don't get a real, real bad winter.
Right.
That's why 6. They started out saying 5.5. And I said, well, let's make sure we're deep enough.
Yeah.
We had issues again last week with the current sewer line being without water for 2 days in a row.
It wasn't the sewer line.
It was the water,
That's so. Another issue for the future, is to make sure that we get a stable water line. Because right now we're served by a 12-inch main that comes out here.
Is this city water out here now, or is this a well?
No, it's city water. Okay. In 95, when we built that building over there, we brought water out here.
Okay.
You want a glass of it?
No, thanks. We have enough of our own.
And
this isn't very pretty when it comes out.
And I appreciate Shane being here and being active with the building, because our former director wasn't real anxious to participate in planning meetings, and we found a few issues that we're working through right now, and we're early enough in the process that we can get some upgrades, because
And I know I speak for Fred and Nate, too, that we are very happy that you're attending those
Thank
meetings.
Thank you.
And giving
we'll
your expertise.
In progress.
So we feel better about that.
There was a lot of talk initially about backup power and everything else, but backup technology kind of fell by the wayside. And where it's a dispatch center and 911 and everything else, we need to make sure.
Well, they'll have a generator.
Well, yeah, it's got its own generator. Right. But the backup power until the generator kicks in, you can't afford to have a computer go down for 10 seconds because could be a life on the other end of that line. And the same.
So there needs to be battery power for backup power. The instant it goes off, it kicks in and the generator kicks in. Yeah.
And
like hospitals have, yeah. Yeah.
So we're working through all that. A year from now, we'll all be happy it's done.
We hope.
Something else.
Yeah. Something else comes along.
Any further comments on the billing update? Any questions? Okay. Volunteer recognition.
All right. And I apologize. I meant to bring invitations, and I'll get those before we head out today. We are having a volunteer recognition dinner on April 30th at Southwest Tech from 5 to 7 p.m. If any of you would like to attend, just let me know. I will give you the flyer. It's always nice if you can attend, I think, and thank our volunteers as well. We have a number of volunteers who work really hard throughout the year for us, delivering meals on wheels, working in our congregate sites, washing dishes, checking in people. Just various things. We have people that help at Elderfest, and we have a number of volunteer drivers that drive for us as well. So we've really got, and I mean, we are very, very dependent on these people, or we wouldn't be able to provide the services that we do. So we will be doing that. So if you're interested, just let me know, and like I said, I'll give you a flyer, and you can let me know if you would like to attend. We'd be happy to have you. So that's that. Volunteer Week actually is this week. We could not arrange it, the dinner, during this week, which actually it was probably good that we didn't, because it probably would have been a Wednesday when we had the storm. So it actually worked out that we held it off, so because the weather should be good now for that. So that's that.
With quotes around should.
Yes, yes. Okay. Gosh. Well, I made the mistake of saying to somebody, well, you know, we shouldn't have to worry about anything, well, other than maybe a tornado. And then I'm like, oh, God, we're in Grant County. I should have said that. June is coming. That's usually our disaster month. So.
Okay, anything further on volunteer recognition?
Nope.
Okay, let's go on to 6, advocacy reports. Let's see, that's Joe and
Vicki. The regional board.
The regional.
Oh. I don't remember that.
Did we have a meeting? It seems like it's been a really long time, doesn't it?
Well, I won't make it too long. We did have a Skype presentation.
Probably, yes.
University of Iowa College of Nursing. And what they're, it's a research type thing. What they're doing is giving, now correct me, guys, putting like a iPad in homes where people are caregiving with people with Alzheimer's and other issues, and then they're connected with this Iowa, our University of Iowa, with the one, and so once a week, I believe, they'll check in, but I think if you needed them right away, you could contact them as well, and they said it's just kind of to have that support,
yeah.
And also communication for people, you know, when they're far away, or, you know, out in the boonies, I'll say, and such. It was a really good, and it was, you know, back and forth. Joe had some real good questions. And
I actually did have some notes on it.
And that was a big part
of it. That was a
big
chunk of the meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we talked about reallocation of budgets in August and information ADRC information specialist and partnerships, all inclusive. We covered a lot of ground, but that's kind of the gist of what.
Right, and with the reallocation, the state is looking at determining how to reallocate funds for ADRC. When they originally started all these ADRCs, some of them were done as projects, so they have more money than others. I'm not sure how much rhyme or reason there was to the allocations, but now they're trying to come up with a process that would reallocate it in more of a fair and consistent way. But I think they're finding that a little bit difficult to come up with. So the aging, and they've kind of made a committee out of the aging and disability professionals to kind of go over this as well and make some recommendations. But it's really difficult because every county is so different, and we've got regional ADRCs and single entity ADRCs. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. And then to throw in the mix, they are now looking at time reporting as well. And the time reporting changes could actually make our grants smaller. So that's going to be another factor. So it's going to be kind of a dogfight, I think, maybe trying to figure out, you know, how this is all going to work in the future. So, but it is what it is, and I think they'll, you know, like I said, I'll be surprised if it's August before they have a reallocation plan by August. So, but we'll see.
And then just to add, they did talk about the Aging and Disability Network Conference from September 12th to 14th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Asked if anybody wanted to go, they have funds for it.
And I'll, once that comes out, we don't have any materials on that yet, but once that comes out, I will bring that to the board as well, because we have sent people in the past to that, if anyone is interested.
I have gone, and it's extremely, I think it's really rewarding, a lot of networking, you know, out of meetings, in meetings as well. So it's pretty good.
I went last year, and it took my knowledge of what I was doing in this room from here to here in a matter of 3 days, and I had to like spend the next couple of weeks absorbing it. But I learned an incredible amount of everything everything that touches us and everything that we're involved in. So it's very, very useful.
Anything else on the regional meeting? Okay, hearing none, we'll go right on to the nutrition strategic planning. And that was Greg and Lori and Ruth and Joe and myself. And Joe is going to give the presentation.
Do you want me to get this going, or do we want to get this going and wait a few minutes? That's
yours.
I
have
them around.
Are they big enough to read?
And are they in color?
Mostly.
Wow, I want them in color. Color. Things always look clearer for some reason.
Yeah,
color.
They do.
No, that's why you use it.
I'm going to think about this. I'm going to come over by you. You're going to play.
No, it's yeah. Fine. You'll just have to.
Not very hard, anyways.
It doesn't go well when it's putting it
apart. Yeah, you're fine.
How many meetings did we have together? Five?
Actually, more like 10.
Was there?
Yeah. We had five just in between December and January.
Okay. 5 weeks.
They were roughly 2 hours each. Sometimes you guys talk a little bit.
Who knows?
I have no names for that.
We don't talk.
I don't believe that.
Just read a report the other day that
says
you know
yourself.
You're running a good organization if you hear laughter in the office. So.
There you go. No. Depends on what they're laughing at.
So I think we're good.
Everybody see that okay? It's about to get worse.
You want to hook it up?
Oh, yeah, thank you. I was getting up for more than that.
You want to pass those around?
Do I have to?
That's one serving.
There's donut holes, too.
Share. I need you.
Cookies have macadamia nuts in them.
They're
so
very good.
You're not a fan of them.
Time for that to go around again. You don't know who she is.
So for the new members, Joe has a background in strategic planning and lean and a few other things. So he was a really great asset for the
board. Joe, that really looked dumb, man. Looked like that wall.
Just a lot of...
Yeah.
I said I was disabled, right?
There you go.
So he's been helping us with some strategic planning for the nutrition program.
Yeah. I used to do this stuff for a living, mostly for IT. My background is I started out in IT security, went into project management. I had a few comments when I found out that there wasn't a whole lot going on for the new building, because I used to work with data centers and all kinds of stuff. So.
Sure.
I was like, oh boy. That's going to be fun for you guys.
Mm-hmm. It's all worked out.
Yep, we're getting caught up.
Good. Really?
On something else on the agenda where we're
going to be stubborn.
A couple things. Got it?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, what you got in front of you is going to start with the planning process. Yes. Can everybody see that okay? So we completed the whole thing, obviously starting with kickoff through reviewing the mandates for the actual program itself coming from state and federal regulations. We went into the vision and mission, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's a SWOT. We didn't SWOT each other the whole time we're in there. Prioritized things, got high-level objectives. Those things, vision, mission, and high-level objectives, are kind of the overarching things for the next couple of years. The difference between just doing that, leaving it, is the rest of this effort, which is getting into the details, how we're going to meet those objectives, figuring out who's going to be involved, how much time it's going to take, what dependencies there are, kind of a rough cost estimate if there's anything involved, and then creating an actual roadmap that we can visually follow and use to communicate to everybody involved in the program, including the board, so that you understand what we're doing, when we're doing it, and how it's going. Committee members were Mary Lou, Greg Fry, Ruth, who is the actual program manager for the nutrition program, Lori, who oversees it, and then I just facilitated it and pulled all the information out of them. We went through the mandates. I'm not going to go through these. If you want to, this is, you can read this later. This is basically the section out of the the regs that we have to follow and make sure that help guide us through this. A lot of times you'll see programs take this section or the sections that relate to them out of the various regulations and use those as their objectives, but that doesn't necessarily encompass the entire view of what you're trying to accomplish. That just gives you guidance as to how you're supposed to do it or what you're supposed to try to accomplish. It's, you know, too broad of a sense, too big. So we use them, but we don't rely on them a ton. And then we go into trends, and we just kind of look at where things are going. One of the bigger things that came out of this was we have a lot of effort that needs to be given to getting volunteers so that we can prop up not only this program, but other programs. Just for this board, in my opinion, there needs to be some assistance given to Grant County and maybe the region in having a volunteer coordinator of some sort so that we can start pulling in a lot more resources to delegate things to, because what I'm seeing is a lot of in the weeds trying to get things done because we don't have the volunteers coming in to be able to pull things out. Now, one of the things that this program will do, and we'll get to it in a second, is focus on enabling that to happen from a process standpoint. So if we do get volunteers, we'll be able to hand things off in a much easier way and be able to train them and follow up. But there's a resource need that is unmet in not just this program, but all the programs that I can tell. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus or anything. I'm just highlighting another need, just like transportation.
We don't have funding for a volunteer coordinator, but
right.
It is a need. But
right.
Yeah. I mean, if we ever would get to the point where there was funding, and
yep. It might well, be we have all the supervisors in here. I think I might as well say.
And it's your last meeting, so.
That's right. The vision from the program, from the committee, came out to be a well-known, trusted, and efficient, an easily accessible resource for older adults to obtain meals in Grant County. You'll see, as we get into some of the more details of the vision statements, they want to be a great resource, easy to get a meal. They don't want people to kind of guess as to how they're going to get their next meal. The for older adults is a mandate as part of the regulations. It's got to be 60 and older, correct? They want to be well-funded. Again, supervisors.
And then they want support from the county. So that's
yeah,
great.
I know. I'm just like I said, it's my last meeting. No, that actually wasn't any of the focus. The efficient use of funding is being driven by a newly adopted initiative by Lori to start using lean process-driven cultures and methods, and we made heavy use of that objective as we went into the program. Long-term, 2 years out mission. We start with a long-term, and then we slowly start forcing people to think about what we're going to do next. So developing a well-staffed workforce to serve eligible individuals, when and how they would like to be served, while utilizing a compliant, lean program/culture. That's what they want to be doing when they are the easily accessible program. That's how they see themselves matching up. Short term, they need to develop the and continually improve processes that will ensure compliance, create the needed metrics, and there are various areas of that, and then also provide consistent messaging. And that includes not only with the staff and the volunteers, but also with the folks who need the program, so that they understand where, when, and how they can be a part of it. We're not going to go too much into the SWOT. It's there. If you guys, anybody here can offer up suggestions, this is a continuously improving document. This strategic plan does not just set in stone and you run it for the next. It's a living program. And if you have ideas, you think that there are strengths, weaknesses, opportunities or threats to the program, or this is specifically for the nutrition program, that are not listed here, send them to Lori or Ruth, and they will make sure that they get considered on the next go-around. Okay? We have a change management document that specifically provides for how things get triggered to be modified on this program, and it's got to be continuously moving. The next section is prioritizing, and we do this for a number of reasons. Sometimes the programs can come up with 20 weaknesses, 30 threats, and obviously nobody has resources, I don't care how big you are, to tackle all that. So we prioritize weaknesses and threats, and we really focus on the top three when we move into the next sections. We can, if it's convenient, to tackle more of them, we can do that, but we typically try to focus on the top three. The high-level objectives for the program are develop the needed processes, and we started that actually last night with our first actual process blitz for the overall program itself, for providing everything from request or identification of somebody who needs a meal, a frozen meal, all the way through to its deliver and follow-up. And we mapped that all out on the wall last night. I'll be in the process of drawing that over the weekend and getting that out to Ruth and Lori so that they can review it and start the follow-up documentation to match it. Training and communication. There's a lot of communication that has to be done in a consistent manner. They do a lot of it already. A lot of the efforts related to that objective are going to be simply to formalize the documentation for how it gets done so that it can easily be handed off or at least be followed if something happens to the folks who normally run it, that kind of thing. And it's also easier to identify where things can be improved if you write it down. Sometimes you'll automatically think of something and you'll change it without knowing what you've changed, and then nobody else might have known it either. So you just do that on a continuous basis.
Well, and we really want to get inconsistent from site to site, so
yep.
Making sure everyone's following the same procedures and policies correctly.
Absolutely. And then with the training, there are a lot of mandatory trainings that have to happen. Serve safe
mm-hmm.
is one of them, along with training and communication of all new processes and how they're being done. Outreach has to do with external relationships with hospitals and other agencies, handoffs between hospitals and ADRC when somebody's leaving the hospital and they need meals at home and those types of things. And then we keep this last little line here, run the business and program execution, not necessarily for tracking any individual thing that's going on, but to understand that there is day-to-day stuff that has to happen, and that takes most of the time of the staff and everybody involved. So we keep that in there. We understand how much of that's being done, and how much of it's being pulled by the staff, so that we know what we have left to run the actual program and efforts. And we have to be mindful of that, because it's obviously very lean, and while we're trying to get more efficient, we have to stay as efficient doing that as we can. The details, I am not going to go through, but you'll look at those sheets you got there and understand that we did go for each objective and look at what processes needed to be put in place, who would have to be in charge of them, who might need to be involved, how long it might take, how much of their time it might take, and these are ballpark figures. Nobody's going to be put out in the cold if it doesn't come out to be exactly what this is. It's just a way to help us map out how we're going to utilize our resources over the next 18 months. Okay? All the way down to, again, as things get done and we operationalize, say, a new process, and it's really into continual improvement mode. It comes down into run the business. We know how much that process or task that has to be done on a regular basis takes. We put that information in there as well, so that as we understand and develop these and we have more and more run the business, we know how much time is being taken up by our overall staff for the program. We know what our needs are. Above and beyond that, we know also what we're estimating our individual efforts to be. And then we have the overall roadmap. So we take all those ideas and identified efforts that we're going to use to achieve our high-level objectives, and we put them in a format where we can understand the dependencies, and I would say almost all of the dependencies in this roadmap are resource-based. It's basically you can't do everything at the same time. What order do they need to get in, and when can somebody get to it? We take the information from the previous tab, and we understand how long it's going to take, who's in charge of it. We give it a number so that the numbers are kind of irrelevant. I just kind of switch back to the other tab so you know what it relates to. But I don't know if you can see it real well on your printout. I still have to update a couple things. For example, the actual planning approval is pretty much done. We have kicked off the develop a frozen meal process. That's what we started last night. We finished the charter for it. The group agreed on the charter. I'll have that update out on Monday as well, as well as the initial Blitz process drawing. After that, they're looking at implementing it, but you'll see that there are other things that have to happen before that has or is able to implement or be kicked off based and almost entirely on resources. One of the reasons that I brought up the volunteer thing is because the biggest things that I see here is the resources and the resource dependencies, and that's going to be typical of any nonprofit, and I get that. But it can be helped by focusing on gathering and managing more resources. And the best way for us to be able to do that is to gather more volunteers. The better we can equip volunteers, the better we can recruit volunteers and place them in places they'd like to be and stay, the better we can tackle some of these things on here and the faster we can tackle some of these things on here. I mean, there are some things that I know Lori and Ruth really wanted to be able to get to, but they knew they just weren't going to because they had to get some of these other things done first, in and around trying to get some of the longer-term efficiency stuff down, get the metrics they want down, and then understand how they can continue to improve things and be able to measure from the initial baseline what those improvements were and be able to bring them to you guys so that you can see the efficiencies being gained from the overall plan. Does anybody have any questions?
In the frozen meal process, you're probably wondering, why are we doing frozen meals? We have a lot of areas in Grant County because of the size of it that we can't get to. So we've got, you know, Little Birds, Mount Hope, different places where if somebody calls in and needs Meals on Wheels, we don't have volunteers that drive to Mount Hope to deliver a meal. So what we've kind of piecemealed it over the past several years where we're meal site managers are doing some frozen meals and we coordinate that with that family or whatever to get frozen meals out to them. It's good because it provides meals. It's not so good because there's a varying inconsistency from meal site to meal site, how you put together those meals. I have some concerns about quality, safety, all of that. So we want to get something that not only reaches those people, that so somebody in Mount Hope doesn't have to worry that, gee, I don't have anybody that can go get meals. How can I get meals? But also meets the safety and the quality and all of those issues. So, and we're getting a lot more of those requests because we're seeing our home-delivered meals are going up because our population is aging. So, and we're getting a lot of calls. Even in the last week, I think we've had several calls from, you know, just 90-year-old people that are now calling for meals because they're still at home. So, in fact, we had one that was calling from a nursing home, 90 or 92, going home and wanted meals. So that's pretty incredible. So we want to be able to meet those. But, you know, I have some issues with food safety and quality and all that. So we're going to be looking at that process. So we'll be bringing that back over the next couple meetings.
Yeah. And then One of the things that I noticed about looking at over here is the last page in this is just the variables that we use for the detailed objectives tab. It talks about the amount of time that we figure equals full-time allocation to the program. We kind of threw in an hourly burden rate for right now. I know that can be adjusted later based on what accounting says it really is. But this is the main variable sheet that we use to estimate what the costs are for the detailed objectives for the rough cost estimates. Any other questions? Yes.
Is anything really much new and different in this than what's transpired over the last years?
As far as what's in it or how it's done?
Both.
Okay. The planning itself is geared towards execution. Personally, I think that a strategic plan is great, but if it's not geared towards actually being able to be executed and done, it's worthless. And so that's why the whole second half of the process forces people to actually start getting into some of those weeds so that we can actually get it accomplished. Everything around it for execution is guided by standard project management principles. So we have a charter, we're going to have risks and issues, we have a task plan to actually take each effort and make sure that they get done as close to what we estimate as possible. We don't know that until we actually make those decisions. As far as what's in the plan, I can't speak to that. That would have to be Lori.
And the frozen, yeah, I would say yes, Dale, to that. Since you've been on the board, which is what, 2013, I've been here 5 years now. I think you left us in 2013, shortly after I came on board. So we've been doing a lot of looking at the nutrition program. As we looked through, we found we had a lot more issues, I think, with consistency, meeting policies, meeting the state policies, reporting. We didn't have a real consistent reporting system. So we've really been working on that to make sure that when we're reporting that the numbers are accurate and correct. And there was a lot of issues there, unfortunately, that, you know, for whatever reason, people interpret things different, and these meal site managers are out there, and they're pretty independent, so you can see how that happens. So we've been really trying to line up, making sure that we're meeting those standards. Not to say that we weren't, but just being making sure everybody's on the same level. Now we're trying to get into, you know, planning ahead now. So we've done a huge effort on making sure that we're meeting the state standards, getting into compliance and making sure that we're staying in compliance, making sure that when Courtney gives me numbers, I can rely on those numbers and report those to the state. We had some issues with that. So now what we're looking at is we feel like we're in a pretty good place there. Now we want to make sure that we're maintaining those open levels of communication with staff, training them appropriately, and moving ahead for the future and how to meet the needs, because we're getting more and more requests for home delivered.
Been ongoing for quite a few years.
Yeah, and the population is aging. So, and there's not going to be, although we did get a slight increase in, you know, aging monies, we're not going to see huge increases put into, you know, huge funding increases. This county puts in a lot of money. They put in a lot of levy to our nutrition program, and I take that very seriously because I've talked to other counties, and you guys, you know, this county really supports this nutrition program. So we want to make sure that, again, moving ahead, that we serve as many people as we can, but we also do it as efficiently as we can. So, and we're limited in our resources. It's a big program, and one of the things that, you know, we were pointing out to Joe is the standards say that there should be a full-time nutrition director. The standards also say there should be a full-time ADRC director and a full-time aging director and all these goofy standards, and, you know, there's not. So,
right.
So again, we're trying to look at what we need to address and pick up the ones that we know where we have concerns right away. Food safety and compliance is a big concern of mine with these frozen meals. So,
I think a lot of times you identify problems as you're working, but it doesn't give you the written thing that says, hey, this is a problem and we need to address it.
Yeah.
it's kind of here, and then it's back here, and then it's gone until the next time the problem arises. And this kind of gives you that roadmap as to, geez, we need to deal with this.
Yeah. And getting the buy-in from the meal site managers is real important, I think. And we found out that we had two meal site managers who both do a lot of frozen meals, and we found out, you know, there were things that I didn't know they were even doing. I mean, we found out they do things differently, too. So
yeah. Well, that was very valuable insight as we were going through this process last night.
Well, there's a lot of difference in our meal sites. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. But we've got to be able to serve, as you know, we've got to be able to meet those requests. People who can get to the congregate meal site can also get to the grocery store and other places like that, and I'm not saying that's not important, but when they're calling in for home delivered, it's because they are homebound and they need meals. I mean, typically the people that are calling for our home delivered can't get to the grocery store. And so we can't be saying, gosh, we don't provide services to Mount Hope because we don't have anybody that can travel out there. And it wouldn't be efficient for a home-delivered driver to be, you know, trying to go to Mount Hope from Fenimore every day. So it just wouldn't. So we've got to figure out a way to do that. And we're, in looking at that, we're making progress on that. I think we'll come up with some ways to do that more efficiently and be able to meet those needs.
And in my experience, it's actually a very natural progression to see somebody come in, shore up as many things as they can immediately, like Lori has over the last few years, and then start, as she gets able to, look at how we're going to go forward and do this in a more formal process, because it becomes much more manageable if you formalize it and you can actually see why you're doing something and how much it's going to benefit you. And then you can also communicate it to groups like this or others and help them understand what you're doing to address maybe their needs that they haven't met before, and for groups like this, what the efficiencies will be gained from whatever effort we have up on the roadmap up there, so that you understand why we're even wasting our time on it.
And the other thing it will help us is, you know, eventually we may have to make some hard decisions on what congregate sites stay open or where we provide those resources. So we need to have, you know, we need backup for that if we're going to look at that. Because, like I said, the county puts in a lot of money, but it's, you know, you're not going to be increasing that money from year to year.
Yeah, well-informed decisions. And
so we want to make sure that we spend that in the right places.
We're going to be is for well-informed decisions. Mm-hmm.
Any further questions?
Another thing that I want to mention is, even though I'm moving to Arizona, I will still be in touch with Lori and Ruth and be helping to execute this all the way through, so that as I leave, it's not going to be left up to them. The formal structure around it, I will be teaching both of them so that as they go through these first couple of projects, and they can handle on it, they can slowly become more and more independent from me and ensure the success of this roadmap moving forward.
Well, I think we certainly want to thank Joe for
his
expertise.
A lot.
I think many of us have seen these types of things elsewhere, but probably never brought it down to some of the things that we actually as a county do. So we thank you very, very much.
And it goes hand in hand with the county lead initiative. No, we have been thrilled, and we are very sad to see you go. So,
if my health wasn't getting, I'm moving for health reasons. So I actually up until 6 years ago I ran the project and program management group, one of them out of Dubuque for IBM. I had 36 direct reports. I was helping them do similar things with lean efforts for the entire floor. Then I got sick about 6 years ago, and the opportunity that I've had to be involved in this and to start using some of the things I love to do. I have an MBA with a focus in management and strategy. I am certified PGMP and PMP, and this not only helps me keep my mind moving, but keep my certifications and keep my hope alive. You know, so you know, whatever benefit you guys get is just a perk for me. I honestly
love doing this. And,
wow.
I'm just really grateful.
It's been wonderful to have you on.
I got an email from Angela asking about this, and as I thought about what it might mean, I got really excited, and I said, oh, this is going to be so much fun. That said, it wasn't always so much
fun. Mary Lou and I didn't think it was always so much fun.
Well, that's true. The victims never do that.
No, it really is. He's been very good.
It does make
and it was a learning process.
Yes,
for us
it does make you think differently, rather than, like I say, knowing there's a problem out there and you just poo-poo it.
Right.
Until it shows up again. It
or try to put a Band-Aid on it.
It does make you aggressive.
Yeah.
Well, and I always wanted, from when I first started, because I've been in several Fortune 500 companies, and my first formal introduction to program management, project management, was at Snap-on. And I was just an analyst, and I wanted to know, why are we doing this? And so then I focused on understanding all the connections between an actual idea by our CEO or their board or their executives, down to how we actually accomplish it on our side. And somewhere along the line, I just got all the dots connected, and they do change. I mean, every time you learn something new, the dots change, and you fill stuff in, and I just enjoy it quite a bit. I'm a kind of a control freak, too.
We didn't notice that at all.
Well, if any questions do come up, I'm sure we can get them to Joe so he can answer them for you.
Yeah. What do I hit?
Just the power button, yeah. And I think you got to hit twice. Yep. Oh, hang on.
Do you have to hold it? Did it go?
Just hold it down there. There you go. Awesome. Can you unplug that for me?
Thank you, Joel, for doing that. And like I said, we'll keep you updated as we go through this process. This will be kind of a standing item.
Okay, we'll go on to the Aging Advocacy Day, May 16th.
Yes, that is at the Capitol. So if anyone is interested in attending, please let me know. Right now, last year the region took a bus. I think we met like in Verona, and then just took a bus in. It was a lot easier because parking at the Capitol is kind of a problem. So if you're interested in attending, let me know right away because I'll need to register you. But the region staff will be in attendance for sure. Last year we visited with Mark Lyon and Tranel's office for our area. And both Senator Mark Lyon and Travis Tranel are very supportive of the ADRCs. So, but it's always good to maintain that relationship since they're also the ones that, you know, make decisions on funding. So if you're interested in attending, let me know.
Okay, that'll be transportation coordination.
Transportation coordination. We had it scheduled for May 17th. I got a phone call from Audrey at Southwest Opportunity Center, and she has a vacation now planned and is leaving on the 16th. So she put in a request to Katrina from Southwest Economic Development Corporation and to me, asking if we would move the forum. The state requires a regional plan for transportation, and it's done every 5 years. The last one was done in 2013 before I came. So it requires a public forum to talk about what we did in the last 5 years and kind of what need and to gather input on what needs are out there. So Audrey's request, and it did work with Katrina, is to move it to May 10th. So I will get that out there. We have not publicized it at all other than I had it on this agenda. And I didn't amend the agenda just because we literally just confirmed it with her this morning. So we will get that out. We are hoping that some of our board members would be able to attend that. I will let you know. I'm hoping it can still be. I'm not sure I'm going to hold it at the admin building. I may try to get it out to Youth and Ag, just because it would be easier parking for people with disabilities. but I will let you know where it will be held.
Was the last one held at VOTAC?
I think it was. I don't know because it was before my time.
Yeah, I think
so,
I did attend that. I think there was
they have put surveys out, and Southwest Economic Development kind of coordinates the regional planning of this, and they did do a regional training plan that discusses everything. So we'll be discussing kind of the transportation options that we have in the county, trying to get information on needs that, you know, what people are interested in, and then going from there. So if you can attend it, that would be great. We will be sending invites out to, like, all the townships, various community partners. If you know somebody that utilizes transportation or might need our transportation, please let them know. We would love to have them there to give us their input. So,
any further comment on that?
No, I will get. I will send out a formal invite to you when we do it up. So I just wanted to make sure that
we're on to number 7, the meal cost tool.
All right. I wasn't going to print this off, but I thought it might. And it's. I know it's very small print. We couldn't get it any bigger, or I couldn't because I'm kind of challenged. There you go. I'll pass this around this way. So the meal cost tool is something that we have to do every year for the state. Looks at our funding, our revenue, our program income that we get, and then looks at what the cost for meals are. And then we have to use this to generate, we have to post these, what the actual costs are. So it's looking at all the costs involved, the admin costs, you know, my cost, my wages, Bruce's wages, meal set managers, the whole labor cost, all the food costs, everything is thrown in there. So if you look at that, and I just kind of threw it out there so you can kind of take a look at this in your leisure if you like. But of the total number of meals served last year was 71,849, maybe, if I can read that very well.
Yeah,
So the total project cost per meal is about $10.80. For congregate, it comes out at $10.86, and for home delivered, it comes out at $10.75. That is an increase of about a dollar from our last year's. But there are reasons for that. We did have some wage increases. The county did a new wage plan, and so that has increased some of our costs a little bit. Food costs have also, I think, gone up a little bit. Gas prices are up a little bit again. And then we're seeing some program income down. We're seeing some costs not being picked up. So what we look at is we request $350 from participants as a suggested donated cost. But this is the actual cost. And this is that actual cost are what we then charge, like family care or agencies that purchase our services for their participants. We charge them the actual cost, which we have to. So any questions on that? If you look, I did write that in because it didn't capture the bottom. So the labor costs are about 44%. The food costs are about 36%. So those are the majority of the costs. And then, of course, there's some rent and utilities and things like that thrown in there. But the two most...
You know, I just want to make a comment. I heard somebody, and I can't even remember where or wherever they would have gone for meals, but I heard that it was an elderly gentleman saying that he goes to the meal site all the time because $1.50 for that meal isn't too bad.
And see, we can't...
I'm saying, that isn't what I'm hearing you're supposed to
be. We can only post a suggested donation. We cannot request a certain amount. We can only suggest it, and people have the ability to pay whatever they can afford, and if they can't afford anything, they have that ability as well. So yes, that does happen. I also had a family care participant tell me that family care was dropping the meals because the county was charging them $9.86 a meal, and the meals only cost $3.50. She didn't know she was talking to the county, and I explained the difference in that to her and explained why.
I heard one kind of in the middle, like Mary Lou. I don't remember where I was at, but the county or the entity that was furnishing the meals, the same type of program, they were requesting $5 a meal.
Yeah, it varies across the state. I think, it does. It varies. And you have the right to set that. We have not raised it in the whole time that I've been here.
No,
but the thing is we have people not meeting the $3.50. So I don't know that raising it to $5 would help. Because
it's tough to raise
they're
it
not,
when you're getting it.
They're not meeting the $3.50. So. And now we're seeing family care. I think in 2016 we saw family care purchasing more meals. So that kind of helped with our program income, but now we're seeing them back off as they have tighter budgets. We're seeing them back off of paying for those meals.
Are donations for the overall program still coming in?
Oh, yes, we do get, yeah. And I think, I don't know if you can read it on here, and I'm not sure I can read it on here, but I'm trying to think if I have it. No, I think that was folded into participant. I would have to look.
Well, here this says gifts or donations from other organizations.
Yeah, but I don't have that on.
No line
item. I don't think I folded that one in. You will see that on our revenue on our finance report sometimes. We typically don't get a lot. We typically get probably sometimes what, maybe $5,000 quarterly sometimes for revenue.
Yeah.
I would say $5,000. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
From other organizations that contribute.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a couple, like the city, I think Fenimore does actually put some money into the program. And we have a church in Blue River Muscadet put some money. They donate some money towards the meal program.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we have, we do have some places that give us use the facilities for very little to nothing too. So that's a donation in my estimation too. So you don't really have to approve this. You just need to know that we will be posting this. I just want you, when you do hear those things about, the cost of the meal, that you can actually say, because then they'll be like, well, that meal's not, $10.75. That's ridiculous. And they need to know, how that originates, because they're, it's just more than the meal site manager and the home delivery driver. There's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of administrative costs in there and a lot of reporting costs and things like that.
Any place to get a $10.75 meal.
You're right.
They're worried.
Yeah.
That's delivered. So, so I just kind of want you to understand where that was. We will be posting those before too long. In looking at that, do you want to increase the donation? Do you want to keep it at $3.50? I don't really have it on here, but it's something, if you want to discuss that at future meetings, we can. I didn't make a recommendation on it just because I think we're seeing a lot of seniors that are just struggling with even the $3.50 right now, so I'm not sure that that's a...
Most of them pay the $3.50, don't they?
We don't know because the donations are private and confidential, so we can't tell you.
You can't tell you.
Do you have the actual price posted?
Yes.
I thought you did.
Yes. And we actually do a little chart that shows the amount of money that comes from federal funding, from the county, and then participant.
Well, you can figure an overall average. So
we do. The only problem with the averaging by site, because we do that somewhat, but it doesn't take into account, like our family care gets directly reimbursed to the county, so it doesn't, some of those things, we can't, it's very difficult to split out by site. So it doesn't always reflect.
That give you a ballpark figure of what you were getting per meal, roughly.
Yeah, and you'll see that, I think, on the... Is that still on
the nutrition report?
Yeah. Okay. So, and we do have areas that are very low. But there are probably also areas that have a lot more needier individuals. So.
Anything further on that? If not, we'll go on to number 8, approval of vouchers.
Okay. You should have those in your packet.
I had a couple questions on the vaulters. Eric explained it to me as I'm a new member.
Yep.
Now, on page 6 of 8 here, the UW Platteville, they process the meals, don't they?
They cook the meals, and those go out to Platteville, Cuba City, Montfort. Those three, right? Am I missing one?
No.
Yeah.
And so that was approximately $11,000 back here. So that is for a month. Is that, am I correct on that?
Yes.
Yep.
I see. That's distributed.
Yeah. Those three sites, like Platteville, does about 17 to 20,000 meals yearly out of that site alone. Mm-hmm. So it is that UW is our biggest vendor for
the Southwest. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I got another question. I was going through this. we rent this from the board, correct? Our rent is, do we pay the board, the county board, on the billing?
On this building?
Yeah.
We pay Orchard Manor. I don't think it's considered rent. I'm not sure. I think it's to cover the cost of utilities.
Yeah.
But we pay about $20,000 to $21,000. I don't know how
it works out. I think it's $5,000 a quarter.
Yeah.
That would be the rental.
Yes.
Now, as we move into the new building, will that be directed to the county? Will that
should be drawn.
I'm not sure how that's going to work. I have asked that
never
question.
Never been addressed.
Yeah. Oh.
Good question.
What?
Good question.
Yeah. This is all county only.
It is. Right. Yeah. It should be dropped if it's all one building, though.
Because
for services, this, right?
Right. Is
that
not
building there will be no longer connected to Orchard Manor.
Because now you'll be part of the jail. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was questioning. Will there be a rent assessed to the ADRC?
I'm not sure it'll be a rent, and that, I don't know that that's been... Because I don't know that...
Probably your 20, what you're paying by quarter is for the sewer system. And
utilities.
It's utilities.
And utilities to help support the sewer system.
I'm thinking it might go towards some maintenance. I don't know at this point. I don't think that the programs that are currently in the admin building pay rent.
It may go for the water bill and the sewer system anyway.
I don't believe the health department pays rent. I think I asked that question once.
No.
Do you pay rent, Shane?
Not that I'm aware of yet.
Not to put you on the spot, but
fourth week on the job.
It's a good question, and I wish Bob was here, and we can bring that up to him the next time he is here, because it is a good question, and it has been asked, and I don't think it's been quite figured out. I'm assuming that we will have a maintenance person, because right now we technically don't have a maintenance person dedicated to this building. We have Orchard Manor maintenance staff come over and provide some services.
That took a little straightening out, too.
Yeah. But I think, obviously, in this new building, Orchard Manor maintenance is not going to be able to cover this building.
I would suspect, just like a private house, you're going to have your water and sewer bills.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what it'll go for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That answers my question. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Good questions.
Any further questions on the financial report?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
The vouchers, right.
I'll second.
Vicki, I heard about 3 or 4, so.
Whoever you want.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, the financial report.
All right. I don't think we've had anything too unusual on that either, have we, Courtney?
Not that I can think of.
What are you looking at?
The revenue and expense is both the financial report. So if you have any questions, we won't see a lot of our revenue coming in for a while yet. As we make reports, we'll get some of that back. But GWAR is not very fast in getting money out to us. And the DOT takes a while as well to get money out to us. But that will be coming in. Shortly. I think actually, maybe it was after this report, I think we did get the DOT money.
Yeah, I think
so.
So
it's just not in this report. So the DOT money has come in. And GWAR is expensed out on a on a monthly basis. So.
Well, the percent available is always kind of a good answer to where we sit, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've been doing pretty good. Probably our committees might be a little bit higher. We may move some of that to nutrition because there have been some committee per diems for the strategic planning. And we'll probably move that into nutrition once I speak with Nancy about that. So the nutrition is broken out between congregate and home delivered because the state has required that. So we are tracking wages that way as well. So I know it's cumbersome. We needed to add another page to this finance report, but that is the reason for doing that, is the state wanted it that way.
Any further questions on the financial report? Okay, now I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
Dave makes a motion. Second?
I'll second.
Vicki second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We got this on 20 here, don't we?
So, right. As we go to 10, we just covered that?
Yes, we did. Sorry, okay. I didn't realize we had that on there twice. I
didn't. Go to the ADRC Grant County Director's Report?
Yeah, you don't want to go through that again. Come on. Why not? And I apologize. We'll try to get some of these out to you. You know I never have my director's report done until like the morning of, so I'm a little slow.
Up to date.
Yeah, that's right. That is up to date. I like it to be fresh right off the press. It's pretty much been business as usual for this last month. We haven't had as much going on. I think things are going really well. As some of you know and some of you don't know, I was off on sick leave for a couple of weeks, so that's why I probably don't have as much on here. Mostly completing end-of-year reports for DOT, which I always think I have a good handle on, and then always end up to be a nightmare because things just, you know, we always get it worked out between Nancy and I, but when things always come up. Been spending a lot of time in strategic planning. One of the things I wanted to point out, and I wish Bob was here to discuss it, one of the things Board of Supervisors don't know was we did send a letter to Iowa County. If you remember on the Sun program,
yeah,
you know,
right.
They had sent a letter requesting, you know, us to relook at. We've been providing meals to the Sun program in Iowa County for quite some time at a reduced cost, and the board in the last few years has been looking at that and determined that they just wanted to pull out of that. So we had let them know. We'd gotten a letter from the Iowa County Administrator and the Iowa County Board Chair to look at that, and they actually wanted to meet. But Bob and I met and drafted a letter to them detailing the timeline of how we came to that decision and how long that decision has been discussed, and the fact that we didn't just spring it on them, you know, kind of how that came about. And Bob had told me last week that he had heard from one of the board members that they appreciated the letter, and it gave them a little more insight as to how long this had been going on, and they gave them some information they hadn't had. So we will be officially done with meals to Iowa County in May, the end of May.
Didn't that get down to almost nothing?
It's been kind of like this.
Oh, okay. I know at one time it seemed like it was down in the single digits.
Yeah. Well, at one time it was getting a little more, and we were only getting reimbursed $3.35. And then I got it up to $7.75, and that still wasn't meeting our costs. So we're done. we discussed it for more than
right,
a few years
yeah.
here. So it wasn't like it was a rash decision
surprise.
On our part.
Yeah.
And I think we showed that, and they were happy with what we showed them. So. We did hire Terry Armentrout as a sub-taxi driver. We've been in need of a sub-taxi driver for a while. You might recognize Terry's name. He's a former state patrol, retired state patrol. So
he's our fishing buddy.
He is
dynamite, right?
He wants to go back. He's from Missouri, and he wants to go back home.
Yeah.
But his wife says, no, I don't think so.
His wife is
she's gonna win.
His wife is also volunteering for us at the meal site, and she also did some work for us on our research directory. So they've both been very instrumental in kind of helping us out. So, yeah, it was kind of no-brainer to hire Terry, safety.
Right, yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
We figure he'll be safe on the road. Yeah. And we were trying to, you know, get some insight from him on, you know, how fast can you go? And he said, how much you got in your wallet? What are you willing to pay? So,
next thing you're going to say, you're going to put red, blue lights on each vehicle?
Yeah, there you go. We did a transition night at Riverdale Schools. The transition nights are aimed at children in the school district that are in special services and that might be in need of adult services. So we also attended the Senior Expo. Shopping News always puts on a Senior Expo in Belmont. So our new INA attended that, got the word out on ADRC, volunteer parties. I am trying to study for this food manager certification test, and I'll tell you, it's stressing me out because we have to do it every 5 years, and I'm not a food manager very well. You know, it's not, I don't run a restaurant.
She's in charge of quality.
Yes. Well, I am, and I passed the last test very well, but it is, there's two things. It stresses me out because it's not, it's very much geared towards somebody running a restaurant,
right.
So, and I guess we run 10 of them, so, in some ways. But it also... It just increases my anxiety level about liability and things like that.
Oh,
when
yeah.
you look at all the food quality and safety issues that could be out there,
would
it
help if
out.
We wrote a little paper said you made good cookies?
Yeah.
Every time you get stressed out, just look up at the letter.
I tell you, it's so that is coming up, Ruth and I. Both take that, just because we have to. So, and thank you, Dale. Maybe if I take cookies to the test.
There you go.
We do have a powerful tools for caregivers coming up that I think is also going to be in the Belmont area. Ruth and Pam Kalber, who is our new dementia care specialist, will be offering that. That is a series, a 6-week series. It's a 6-week class. We're kind of getting it in all in the month of May. We are also, I wasn't able to attend it the other day because I had another commitment, but a steering committee has met this week for the Dementia Friendly Basketball Initiative, so that will be being kicked off, and that will be really done by Pam Kalberg, but since I'm from Basketball, obviously, I've had some input and work there as well. Site managers met. We're trying to be real consistent and making sure that we're giving them all the same type of training and be consistent there. And then we are distributing surveys. The aging plan, the state got kind of called on their aging plan. We have to do an aging plan every 3 years, and the state got called on their state plan for not getting enough information on unmet needs and services that people are, you know, either feeling are a strength or a weakness. So, of course, that trickles down to us because we do the aging plan at the local level. So they requested that we try to work real hard to get more information on that as well. We got creative. They gave us enough heads up. So in Elderfest, we actually got 200 people, or over 200 plus people, to do our Plinko game. And if you answered a question for us about unmet needs or one of the things, you got to do the Plinko game and win a prize. We had people lined up. So it worked well.
Yeah.
It really worked well for us. And it was fun for them. And so we've done that in a few other places as well. We also have a quick survey that we've been putting out When we go and speak at different groups and things like that, again, with the promise of we'll give you a vegetable brush or a, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever we've got for you. And we did. We made it real simple that they could just check some boxes. And again, we've had a good response to those too. So I did bring some along. If you are out and about and you want to take a couple and you know you're going to be seeing somebody that might fill one out for you, it is aging plan, so for over 60, or you can fill one out yourselves if you're over 60, I don't care, and then just bring them back to the next meeting or drop them off. I'll just set them here, I'll just pass them around and you can take some if you would. We will be working on that aging plan. We're just getting information from the state next week, so we will be working on that probably in May.
Lori?
Yes.
What was one with meeting with Nancy Bongers on resources available?
Nancy had a group. I think there's a new pastor at the Free Angelic Church.
Oh, okay.
And very interested. I think they actually are caregivers themselves.
Okay.
And so they were very interested in what caregiving resources. So Nancy, of course,
okay,
worked in various capacities over the last 20 years. So
right.
Nancy gave me a call to see what caregiving resources were available.
Okay. Okay.
She met with Ruth and I and then decided that it would benefit the church to actually have a program.
Okay.
So Ruth just was out there Monday night and met with, I think, about 12 people from the church were there just to talk about what resources are out there for caregiving.
Jeez.
So it's, it was good. Nancy's a great resource for us, always has been.
Yeah.
She's got her hands in everything,
right.
So. And you know she's moving to Vernon County.
No.
Yeah. That's going to be a really big loss for Grant County.
Yeah.
Her husband is my son-in-law's brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have dealt with Nancy back in my Head Start days.
Yeah.
So, and then Nancy's been instrumental with Salvation Army with all the flooding we've had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's going to be a great
resource.
Yeah. So. All right, and then we've got the program reports as well. I do want to point out on the program report, you do not have anything under INA. That is not the fault of the INA. I am taking over that reporting. We did some restructuring on the INA, so we don't have a lead INA. We just have INA, so that reporting is going to fall to me. However, Leisha has always pulled those out ahead of time, and I want to be consistent with the region because Danica already does a report on this. It just comes a little later. So just, again, there's no reason for me to go in and reinvent the wheel. So those, you will have one the next time as soon as she's just off a month. And I'm not going to go and pull those. So the latest one that Danica has is February. The next one will be March. That's coming. So we will get caught up on that. So just to let you know. Again, I just want the numbers to be consistent from what Danica's reporting really are the state numbers that we should be reporting. So we'll report that to you as well. Any questions on the program report at all?
I think some of these trips will increase now as we get into the summer. Yes,
nice
no?
Weather.
Yes?
I would guess so, yes. And our bus, our bus is going to take a while to get back on track, too, because we were without a bus driver. You guys, I don't know if you guys know, but my bus driver, Randy Stogen, passed away last year. So, and then we got another bus driver temporarily, and he went to work for the highway department. So, we have another bus driver now, but that's going to take a while because we had a lot of cancellations on that. So, taxi's been a nightmare this year because, both our taxis went down practically at the same time. So that's been kind of crazy. But we do have the new taxi. We did get a grant for a new taxi, and that is up and running. Thank goodness.
You're able to use it now?
Yes, yes, it sat here for literally 3 weeks because the DOT has to approve the paperwork before you can put it on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of DOT approving, I those of you who know I've been dealing with titles, SOC is transferring the buses over to us now. But I have made like 8 calls to get the titles right. And
SOC
is Southwest Opportunity Center. They used to write the grants for the vehicles, and now the state doesn't do it that way. So we were always kind of a leasee. Well, now the state's just letting everybody write their own grants, and so they're allowing them to transfer the titles to us, so that way she doesn't have to worry about our maintenance and all our reports. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a nightmare.
And they always want you all together, don't they?
8 people. The last phone, one of the last phone calls I had was Aaron in a room with about 5 other people trying to decide how we should best approach this, and they decided municipal plates were the way to go, and it got rid of all our problems, and then they didn't, and it was supposed to be Grant County on the title, and we were going to be all good. They sent us a title out yesterday, we got it, ADRC on the title, and it's no, not. So, yeah, I used to be true, so.
That doesn't surprise
me. It doesn't surprise me either.
Seeing as how this is my last meeting, I'd like to make the motion to adjourn. And
I don't get to do that.
You guys will have to vote at the next meeting just who to send in my place to the region.
Oh, yes.
We have all the, they have to take over the
we'll
office.
We'll actually
here,
have to do
yeah,
all the office.
A bunch of goodies.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you around.
And I have, before you're done.
Yeah,
Steve,
I really want
to
say
Steve actually was not supposed to be done until June, but he's going to bail on me early.
Like you, I'm on June 3rd.
Well, I want to thank Steve and Joel for all the input that you've given to the committee in the length of time that you've been here, because this is a very worthwhile committee. It keeps us very...
Considering when I first started here, I thought ADRC meant alcohol and distress. And apparently a lot of other people did too, because I mentioned that I was on that board, and some people in town said, I didn't know you were an alcoholic. I said, I'm not.
Well, there you go, Steve. Oh, my God. Being said, you got a cup for it.
Yeah, I don't,
you don't
care.
Get any better.
I don't care what you put in that cup.
Not a red solo cup.
Thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you to Steve and Mary Lou and Joe. You know, 2 of you have been on since I came on board here, and Steve, I'm going to miss you saying, so, Laura, is everything good? No, got everything solved? I think for the most part, Steve,
we can probably keep these.
I think
we
do. You sure can. If you want to take that, you can. But I really do appreciate it. I really do appreciate all your support. It's been, you know, 5 years has gone by very, very quickly.
We've learned a lot that way.
Yeah. Well, this is my second go-around.
So yeah. And just so you're aware, and if you decide, you know, Arizona's not for you, you want to get back to me.
I'll definitely keep that in mind.
You only have to be off a year, and then you can come back. So.
Well, I got a mayor's job for 2 more years again now, so I think that's about enough pretty quick. He's 22 years.
Well, I'll still run into you, and I will probably hopefully still run into you. So
well,
I would like to run into you, but it's going to take a little more effort.
You can't get rid of me.
Probably.
I know your phone number, your email.
Well, I thank you very much, and at that point, all those in favor to adjourn, we're out of here.
All right.
Thanks much.
Thank you, guys.
Hopefully no more snow. The meeting will be June 20th. No meeting.
Right, there is.
Bye, Steve.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Steve, if you
want
me to come back when we do an open house over here.
Sure.
Let me know.
You're losing your band.